The ability of the owners of the political media class to discredit and neutralise anyone who poses a threat to their interests simply by rearranging the narratives about them is one of the most destructive psychological weapons in their arsenal. The main reason it's so hard to convince the public that they have been taken in by propaganda and smear campaigns is because, for some stupid reason, one of the most shameful things anyone can do in our society is be fooled. If we are to overcome the narrative dominance of the powerful, it is essential that we find a way to shift that shame from those who have been fooled onto those who have been fooling them. And this week's opening quote comes from Caitlin Johnson. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Well, things are moving fast in the world today, folks. They really are. We've had major steps being taken here in Australia. The rollout of the smart city in Darwin that I mentioned to you a few shows ago, this is certainly progressing, and we've seen, of course, right on cue, you know, just as we've taken action against it, Ray Broomhall has been liaising with the people in Darwin, attempting to stop the rollout of the 5G system in Darwin. And as I said, this smart city will be up and running and ready to switch on, basically, by the end of the financial year, which is the end of this month. And then as the action is being taken against it, right on cue, we have a shooting in Darwin. A shooting carried out by a prisoner who has been recently released on parole, who was wearing an ankle bracelet, who couldn't possibly have got the weapons that he got, but did get them and went and shot four or five people in Darwin and then turned himself into the police. And as a response, we see the police announcing their new monitoring system that they're going to be using to protect the people. And this is, of course, the event that they will use to get the people in Darwin to accept what is happening, and they will present to the people like it is actually happening for their own protection. And they'll have no idea that this has been planned for months and months in advance, probably years in advance, and that this shooting is simply the spectacle that's been given to them to justify the rollout of this smart grid around them. And this smart grid, this surveillance state and social crediting system that's going with it, has been on the cards for quite a long time, and it's been rolling out in Darwin for months now. We've known about it. But even so, and even though we've known about it for quite a while, it's been very difficult to alert people to the fact that this has been happening in Darwin because it hasn't been reported in the local newspapers. It's been reported online in online news services, but only in news services you have to subscribe to. They're the only ones that have actually been telling you about the surveillance system and social crediting system that is coming out. But now it is even being announced as the new trial smart city, the first in Australia. So they're telling you right there with their newspaper articles regarding this shooting and the surveillance that is being rolled out in response to the shooting, that this is going to be happening right across Australia. And right on cue with it, we have seen an Australian whistleblower, someone who exposed government corruption, being raided by the Australian Federal Police for daring to release what they're calling classified information. And the so-called classified information that they are guilty of releasing was a report that verified that the Australian government is using military-style surveillance technology on civilians throughout Australia. And of course, the government deems this to be classified. And really, all classified information is in regard to government is the government covering up any details of its own carryings on and its own criminal activity. That's why they classify anything, folks, because the government is just one big criminal cabal and it doesn't want you to know what's going on. If it was a real legitimate government actually working for the people, a government of the people, for the people, working for the people, nothing would be classified. It would be all open for us to examine so we knew that these people were doing the right thing. But such is not the case, and so they classify things. And what's happened is that Annika Smethurst has released some information, and the government didn't like it, and so they have gone and harassed her for it. And of course, what has paved the way for this is the arrest and hanging out to dry that we've recently seen with Julian Assange, which, as I've said so many times, has been about changing the international legal system, changing asylum for whistleblowers, changing the law regarding whistleblowers, and essentially making it possible for the government to criminalize anybody who speaks out against them and do it on an international level. That's what the Assange arrest is all about. That's why it was done so publicly. People nearly need to understand what's going on here. And so here they've used it to go and harass a whistleblower in Australia. And they've gotten away with it. And in fact, to get that correct, it's not even actually a whistleblower. It was a journalist, quite a respected journalist, by the name of Annika Smethurst, who is very respected in Australia, who released some information and then suddenly found herself raided by the Australian police. So we're seeing the government openly criminalising any reporting of its own criminal activity. And of course, we're seeing these brain-dead thugs in the 104 IQ club that are the Australian police force just going along with it because they're too stupid to do any otherwise and always do what they're told. And that's just the way they go. You know, one of the real problems that we face in society, really, folks, when you look at it, is the rampant stupidity of the police force. The fact that these people are generally blockheads who can't think for themselves, and they're violent, and they're brutal, and they just do whatever they're told, irrespective of the consequences. They just follow orders on command. And these are the main people who are terrorizing the public, and these are the main barrier that we have between the public ever dealing with the criminality of government. The fact that the police don't really worry about crime. All they really worry about is what the politicians tell them to do. And that's a very unfortunate and very stark reality that is truly one of the biggest problems that we face in the world today, folks. You know, any attempt we take to address the criminality of government, we reach the stone wall of stupidity that is the police force that stands between us and freedom and the truth. And of course, these people do it because they believe that they're upholding the law, because to them, the law is unfortunately anything the criminals running the country happen to write on paper and call law. And really, none of it is law. It all may be the colour of law, but none of it is actual law, especially here in Australia. I mean, the entire Australian government stands in treason. The entire Australian government is illegitimate itself, simply due to its own actions. And if the police did have any brains at all, they would have addressed this situation long ago. They haven't, and that should be a pretty good indication for people as to where we're going. And you think about it, folks. I mean, as I said, this is a journalist that has been harassed by police for simply revealing government corruption. And they've been harassed because politicians have, of course, told them that, oh, this is a breach of protocol. You need to go and harass this person for breaching protocol. We need to find out where the leak is. And think about it, folks. This is the reporting of a crime within government. The most revered and valued institution that you have in a country. The thing that's supposed to be there to protect you. This is a person who's revealed criminal activity within that organization. And someone within that organization has told the police officer to go and harass this person. The police officer, if he'd had any brains at all, would have turned around and arrested the politician who gave him that order and then gone and got the journalist and brought them in as a material witness and examined the information the journalist had reported exposing the criminal activity within government. Because this gives the police the opportunity that they needed to go and route this criminal behavior out of the government system and actually help us create a free and open society that is there to benefit people. And the fact that the police don't do this, the fact that they simply do whatever the politician tells them to do and they go and arrest the journalist who reported the crime, shows just how brain dead these people are, just how trained they are to respect authority, and just how dangerous they are to a safe and progressive society. They really are the biggest barrier that the people face between sanity and freedom, folks, is the attitude of the police force who seem to not care about what is right, not care about anything with moral value or integrity, but simply abide by the rules that are given to them by the criminal class that is masquerading as government in all of our countries. That's one of the biggest problems that we face. That's what makes it so difficult for us to ever get anywhere and to be able to push any real activism forward or to be able to hold these criminals in office accountable for their actions, because we just can't make it through this brick wall of terminal stupidity that is the police force. It's got to the point that the police will arrest you for even going and reporting the crime if the crime you're reporting happens to implicate a politician. They simply won't let you do it. And that's a real problem, ladies and gentlemen. It really is. And that's one of the reasons we've had such a hard time getting the message out to people and why it's so difficult to push things forward even when we try to get the message out for people. Like I said, you know, we start taking action against this 5G stuff that's going on in Australia and especially what's going on with the smart city in Darwin, and bang, they have another shooting right on cue. You know, and it always just happens this way, folks. And we can see it, but how do we tell the police about it? We can tell the police about it and we'll get arrested as being a conspiracy theorist or someone who is plotting to overthrow the government or whatever else it is that they'll cook up to contain and circumvent any action we might be mounting. But all this stuff seems to happen right on cue, you know, no matter how many advances we make against the system, it just seems to come back and stage another shooting, roll out new legislation, and it just all seems to go ahead and the gullible public just buys in with whatever the newspapers and the talking heads on the mainstream media are telling them. And of course, right along with this, again, we see YouTube has just announced that it's going to be deleting thousands of channels on YouTube, anybody who is presenting what they're terming harmful information, which of course is anything that doesn't comply with the mainstream narrative. So you are no doubt going to see a huge number of YouTube channels disappear. Probably my channel doesn't have long to survive either. And that's just the way that's going to go. So do be sure to subscribe to my channel on BitChute while you can, folks. That channel will be there for a while. And if I do get deleted on YouTube, I will most definitely continue uploading my shows to BitChute. And this lockdown and this purging of truth and this purging of information we've been warning about for so long is no longer coming, folks. It is now here. And the thing is that this lockdown is happening in all countries and it's happening right across the board. Full spectrum dominance, folks. Every government is involved and they're all going in the same direction. And I mentioned this was going to happen all on the back of the Christchurch shooting. As I mentioned a few weeks ago, if you can consider 9/11 to be the beginning of the end game, the Christchurch shooting was the beginning of the final move of the end game, and we've seen all of the dominoes put in place up to that point, and now the dominoes have been pushed over and they're falling into place exactly where the system wants them to go. And as I said, it's happening in all countries. For everybody out there, the QTubers still trusting the plan and thinking Trump is on their side, I suggest all of these people go to the congress.gov website and look up the 116th Congress, the House Bill HR 838, which is the Threat Assessment Prevention and Safety Act of 2019, and this is essentially pre-crime. This is a bill to develop a national strategy to prevent targeted violence through behavioral threat assessment and management. Think about that one, folks. Behavioral threat assessment and management. It's going to be applied through schools, through judicial systems, and it's aimed at identifying individuals who are exhibiting patterns of concerning behavior that indicate an interest, motive, intention, or capability of carrying out an act of violence. Now think about that, ladies and gentlemen, and how broad those guidelines are. An interest, motive, intention, or capability of committing violence. And well, apart from those guidelines being easily able to be applied to anybody wearing a police uniform, and which I would suggest are the real perpetrators and who these laws should actually be applied to, what is an interest? What is an intention? How do you know if someone has an intention to commit violence and they're saying, or a capability of committing violence? Well, I would suggest that anybody who has arms and legs, anybody who has a pair of hands, is capable of committing violence. As I said, just sit back and think about how broad these guidelines are and who they can be applied to. They can basically be applied to anybody the government doesn't like. They can say, well, we think you are capable of committing violence. And you can't really argue with them because you have hands. And what this is about is pre-crime. It's about identifying people who are not thinking the way the government wants them to think and targeting them as persons of interest to be watched and doing what you can to eliminate them from the system, folks. I mean, they can do this through social crediting and just simply the way you think. On top of this, the Trump administration is also introducing a new bill whereby nearly all U.S. visa applicants are now required to submit a 5-year social media history. Think about that one, folks. I want to know everything that you've done, everything you posted for the last 5 years, and if you have posted anything that the government doesn't like, then they're not going to approve your visa into the United States. And no doubt, while they're doing that, they will also alert your local government to the fact that you are a person of interest who has just been refused entry into the United States, and you will therefore become a person of interest to your own government, and you will find that you are subject to investigation upon being refused entry to the United States when you're returned home. No doubt this is the way things will go. Well, maybe you won't even be returned home. Maybe you won't even be able to get the flight to begin with. Maybe you'll just be refused a visa, and then the appropriate authorities in your own country will be alerted to the fact that your visa has been refused. And this can be done just automatically through the Five Eyes system because it's all linked together. Australia, Canada, the United States, Britain, New Zealand, all linked together as the Five Eyes network. So you can see where all this is going, folks. This is the total surveillance system that I've been warning you about for so long. It's all coming online now. The first of its kind rolled out in Australia at the end of this month. That's just about 3 weeks away. And as I said, you can see all the precursors of this now all being put in place in the United States with the introduction of HR 838 and with the new visa requirements for entry into the United States. And also, as I've mentioned before, we can see it in England with the new anti-terrorism laws and the new anti-terrorism bill, which mandates that anybody who views what is termed terrorist propaganda online can now be subject to up to 15 years imprisonment, simply for breaching UK guidelines. This, of course, followed hot on the heels of the Christchurch shooting in New Zealand, where we saw people getting 10 to 14 years for even viewing or sharing the Christchurch shooting video. Take this over to Europe. We've seen people restricted in travel simply due to donations they've received from people. And so you can see how the whole net is closing in, folks. And if the people don't stand up and make some noise about this, it's going to close in very fast. But the thing is, I mean, they're closing it in so fast because they're stumbling. They're scared. You know, so much has been revealed lately. I mean, what was revealed with the Christchurch shooting? The fact that the Christchurch shooter's video can bring down the entire New Zealand government and expose the entire world media apparatus as being the bunch of liars that they are, I think, is a real concern for these people. That's why they need to roll out this level of censorship and roll it out now, roll it out quickly, roll it out while they can before people get a wind of what's actually happening. You know, they really let things slip with that video and there was so much revealed on it that they really did not intend to be revealed. The fact that we've got that silver Toyota Will VS registration FQH875, which was clearly seen on the shooter's video, and clearly seeing being waved through a police roadblock later in the day, is also a hugely key point to the Christchurch shooter's video. And I think a lot of the exposure this has been getting is causing these people to roll things out a lot quicker than they intended to. And because it's all rolling out so quickly, there's a lot of people looking around going, hang on a minute, this is not what we had planned at all, and this is not what we want at all. A lot of people, normal people who wouldn't normally be concerned about government, are very concerned about this surveillance system being put in place in Darwin, and so in many ways it's a good thing. Hopefully it will be the push that people need to actually stand up for themselves, because that's what's needed here, folks. You know, humanity is having their backs pushed to the wall, and it's got it to the point that you need to face this spiritual challenge that you're facing. Everybody needs to face this spiritual challenge. Now's the time that people need to stand up and take this world back, because if we don't, if we miss this opportunity, it's not going to be a very pretty place that we're heading into. So really, this is a huge opportunity, the fact that all this is rolling out so quickly, the fact that it's all happening so blatantly. It's a huge opportunity if people could just see it that way and rise to the occasion. And to be honest, I think many people are going to do so. Even the fact that we've seen this journalist going against protocol and revealing information, probably knowing very well that laws in Australia were going to prevent her from doing this and they were going to come after her. I mean, This shows that even people within the mainstream are had enough of this and prepared to stand up and say something about it, and it's a good thing. So hopefully the people, the plebs out there in TV land, will all follow suit and will stand up for this woman and stand up and say something about what the government's doing. And it's really important that people do, and really all people need to do this and to be motivated to do this is see what a really true opportunity all of this is providing for us, if you can just look at it through the right eyes. The problem is that many people look at this stuff and they just go directly into fear. And look, it's understandable. I mean, I'm certainly concerned about it. There's a lot to be concerned about with what's happening. But too often people will look at it and say, well, it's happening. We just don't have a choice. It's like the people in the school. There's a school in Brisbane and there's a 5G tower being put right next to it. And they're saying, well, we don't like it here. It's too close to the children, but we don't have a choice. They're not realizing that they actually do have a choice. You know, we all have a choice. The only reason people think they don't have a choice is because they don't know who and what they are. They don't understand that what we're dealing with here is just people. The government is just people. Scott Morrison is just a man. He's not anybody special. It doesn't matter if he's the Prime Minister. Flonald Blump, it doesn't matter about him. He's not anybody special. It doesn't matter if he's the President of the United States. In fact, the fact that these two people have got these positions shows that they're scumbags, they're criminals, they're corrupt. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been put in the big chair. And for the people in the United States still on the Trump train, if they can't see what this man is doing by now, well, God help them. Honestly, God help them. They must have rocks in their head because nothing this man is doing is benefiting anybody except the controlling interests that puppeteer him, which mainly come from the state of Israel. But there's banking cartels and all sorts of people involved in this. And really looking at the top of the food chain, folks, who knows what's really there? It's anybody's question, but the fact of the matter is that we can still circumvent this by simply standing up and saying no. And one of the most important things about this smart grid, what's rolling out in Darwin, how it's tracking everybody is via their smartphones. That's the key point, folks, is your smartphone. If you don't carry your smartphone with you everywhere you go, they can't track everything you're doing and they can't get tabs on you. If you don't have a smartphone to give to the powers that believe they be when they ask for one, then they can't get all your data, can they? That's the thing. I mean, sure, they could go back to your house and confiscate your computer, I suppose, but that's a lot more tricky for them to do than simply confiscating your smartphone and looking through your smartphone data as you're driving down the street and they pull you over for a breath test or whatever, which is the way it's going to be going. Now, this whole system depends on the smartphone. It depends on people carrying these devices with them. It depends on people participating and consuming smart technology. That's where it all gets its grip on you, folks, and that is the weakest link in the chain for the system. If people stop using the tech, then the system can't do anything about it. There's nothing the system can do. And this is why it is so imperative that people throw away their smartphones. And certainly don't buy one for your children. And if your children are being given iPads at school, if your school is telling you that you need to get an iPad or you need to get any of these type of electronic devices for your children when they're still in the early years of school, well, then explain to your school this is child abuse and ask them why they are fostering dopamine addiction in children and how dangerous this is. And if there is legislation that is mandating that they do that, then you would like to know who it was who enacted this legislation so you can press charges against them. And ask the school if they have any integrity, if they have any care about their students, and if they are going to make a stand against this type of child abuse and this type of dopamine addiction being forced upon children who are too young to know what they're doing. Ask the school these questions and see how they respond, folks. You know, make a stand for your children. Make a stand for the future. Make a stand for freedom. Because if you don't make a stand, no one is going to come and make it for you. Now, I can do these radio shows all you like. I can continue to come on and talk to you every week if you really think it's going to make a difference. But if you're just enjoying the radio shows and it's your Saturday morning thing and you like coming and listening to Max and it's this relaxing thing for you, well, that's not what it's about. It's really not what it's about. I mean, I've been coming and doing this for 11 years now, attempting to slap the world into wakefulness just in an attempt to alert people to what is coming and how easy it would be to move in another direction and the danger of not doing that. You know, what's going to happen to us if we just allow things to flow along the way they're going? You know, it's not going to be a good world, folks. You know, what people have to take into account, as I've said so many times, is that the world is run by criminals. The international government system is, in fact, an international criminal cabal masquerading as government that are locking us all down into a surveillance state nightmare that is going to be almost impossible for people to escape from, because the people that are growing up into it are going to have no reference point for what reality actually should be. And the only people who can change this are those of us who remember what freedom looked like, those of us who remember what the world should be, those of us who remember what the world was like before the technology came along and took this world away from us. And again, you know, there's nothing wrong with technology, it's just how it's being used. You know, what's wrong with the technology that we're using at the moment is the fact that, as I said, the world is run by criminals. That's what's wrong with it, folks. All of this system that's been put in place is not to serve and protect us. It's to serve and protect the criminal cabal masquerading as government and allow them to get away with anything they want to do. It'll be complete lockdown for everybody. You won't even be able to think the way you want to think. You won't be able to think outside the box. You won't be able to communicate anything you want to communicate to anybody for fear of being punished or persecuted. The future that is being created around us is going to be like 1984 and Brave New World all rolled together on steroids, folks. It's going to be an absolute nightmare if people do not stand up and make a stand now. And like I said, all they've really got to do to make that stand is throw away the technology. Stop using smart technology. Stop taking smartphones with you everywhere you go. You don't need these things. Get out of the scrying mirrors and get back in touch with the real world. It's imperative that we do this, folks. It really is. If we don't do that, if we're not prepared to make this stand, this basic stand, just this stand for humanity, then humanity will be lost and the choice is ours. And I don't like to come on here and deliver uncomfortable information to people, but that is the choice that we have, folks, and the choice is ours. And now we are at that time where this choice simply has to be made. It cannot be denied anymore. It's in our face, and we now have to consciously make this choice. But I think we have reached break time here, folks. So I'll leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company. And I'll be back to speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, so it's a pretty interesting world we're facing, folks. It really is. And I tell you, you know, after 11 years of doing these radio shows, it's become more and more difficult to come on and actually do these shows. It really has, because, you know, ever since I started, I've been wanting to empower people. I've been wanting to inspire people to make change. And I've been warning of the system that's been coming, but through it all, I've tried to keep it inspirational. I've tried to keep people empowered and to inspire people to become empowered, to rediscover themselves and to stand up to what is coming, to stand up for themselves, basically. And that's all it is, just basically stand up for yourself and say no. But it gets to the point. I mean, this system is really rolling itself out fast now, and it's become more and more difficult to come onto the air every week and to attempt to empower and inspire people in the face of what is coming. You know, and I don't want to bring depressive information to people. I don't want to depress people. I don't want to upset them. I don't want to have people feeling like they're being backed into a corner or anything like that. I've really wanted to inspire people. But by the same token, I can't simply be dishonest and look at the world through rose-colored glasses and say everything's going to be great, we're getting out of this mess, don't worry about anything, because there's a lot to be concerned about. And nothing is going to change if people do not get motivated to make that change themselves by being aware of what choices they're making in their everyday lives. That's really the key to the whole thing, ladies and gentlemen. The fact that people aren't willing to make these choices and they're simply not willing to stand up for themselves, they believe that if they keep their head down, it's all going to be good. But it's not, folks. It's not going to be good at all. And we could change it so easily if people were to simply stand up and say no. And one of the biggest problems we've got, of course, is we do not have the power of community standing behind us. We've never put common unity back into community, which is what I've been suggesting right since the very beginning. Back in 2008, when I did the first radio show, I mentioned on that show that the most important resource you have, the most important asset you have, the most valuable asset you have is the people around you, your neighbors. I know even saying that, there's people out there going, oh my God, if that's our most valuable asset, then we are so, so screwed because my neighbors are like neighbors from hell. And I know that everybody feels the same way, that if that is our choice and if that is what we've got to fall back on, then we're screwed because I don't get on with my neighbors at all. That's what many people are thinking, but that's really the way it is, folks. We've got to have people standing together, shoulder to shoulder against this system. And if people were to do that, we could change the world in a day. That's why it's so important. And I've said to people and suggested for so long that the most important thing you can do is to get self-sufficient and to lead by example in your community and inspire the people around you so that you can all stand together when the time comes. And that time is fast coming. It's pretty well here now, ladies and gentlemen. That's why it does get very difficult to come onto these radio shows and attempt to inspire people in the face of what is coming. You know, sometimes I wonder if I'm just lulling people into a false sense of security with the radio shows. And whether I'm too calm, whether I'm too rational, whether I'm too composed, whether people simply come on here to get some solace and comfort from the system outside and think, wow, it's all good, I feel better now because I've listened to Max on a Saturday morning. When really it's not about that. It's about motivating people into making the change that we need to make. And standing in that, you know, standing in who and what they are, that's the key to the whole thing. Just standing up for yourself, ladies and gentlemen. And we've got so much information now. We really do. I mean, people in New Zealand, if the police are coming around and questioning you about whatever, you could say to them, yeah, hang on, how can you even be doing this when the shooter's video reveals the government is corrupt? Why haven't you gone and addressed that fact? Why haven't you gone and addressed the media for lying? Why haven't you gone and addressed the government for lying? Why are you here pushing the agenda? Because it's going to come for you as well. Why don't we say that to these people? Why isn't anybody saying that to these people? Because that's the truth of the matter. The shooter's video reveals the government is participating in criminal activity and they're lying through their teeth to cover it up to the public and the media is supporting them in it. This is a major crime. This is far more major than anyone sharing the video or looking at the video or talking about the video, because they're only doing so to reveal the criminality of government. And if government is passing legislation to hide their criminality, then they have no value at all. And why can't the police see that? Are they that terminally stupid that they can't see that? Or are they simply as corrupt as the government? I mean, which one is it? It can only be one of the two. Yeah, but we don't call it. We never call it. We just roll over on command and we think we have to follow the guidelines that these criminals give us. It's an absolute joke, folks. And it's just this whole fictional reality that we've been led into and chosen to keep complying with. That's the thing. We choose to keep complying with it. We know it's there. Once we know it's there, why do we choose to keep complying with it? I mean, I made the decision not to comply with it years ago. I cut myself off everything to do with the government. I just don't support these people at all, and I've been speaking out against them for years now, and I will continue to speak out against them until they start doing the right thing, which I can't see them ever doing because they're a bunch of criminals who back themselves into a corner now. But, you know, if people simply disconnected from the system and stood up for each other, we could change the world. We could change it so easily. And it frustrates me sometimes that people simply cannot see that. They cannot see the simplicity of what this prison really is. It's just a prison for your mind. And because they can't see that, they can't see the simplicity of how we could actually leave this prison and turn the world into something else, something far more beneficial than the direction that we're going anyway. It does get frustrating, folks, I must admit. I mean, we do what we can. But as I said, one of the biggest problems is getting information out to people. It's very, very difficult to get information out to people. You notice there's no real meeting places anymore. They kind of destroyed all these things, even like here in Byron Bay. Byron Markets is gone now. There's no kind of meeting place. In the local hippie town, the centre of town, the Rainbow Cafe, the place where everybody used to congregate and meet, was subject to a mysterious fire and the entire centre of town burned down. They never really bothered reconstructing it the way it should be, and so there's no real meeting place in that town. Something I noticed in the United States when I was there is that many of the country towns, they don't have a town centre. You know, normally you have a park and a fountain and all this sort of stuff and a bunch of coffee shops and cafes and pubs and stuff around the town centre where people congregate and gather. You don't get this in a lot of towns. So there's no real meeting place. There's no where to go and actually connect with people that you don't know and just strike up conversations and see what's going on in the community. They've changed hotels as well. I mean, this is something that used to happen in pubs a lot. Places like Ireland, they're noticing that the hotels are changing in Ireland. Now, people used to go to pubs. The men would go to pubs. They'd leave the family at home. They'd go to pubs. They'd sit around the bar. They'd all get drunk and they'd just chew the fat. And they just talk about stuff. What's going over on John's property? What's happening over that side of town? What's happening over this side of town? What's the council doing here? What's people doing there? What's that development going on over there? People would just talk about things and they'd get the inside dirt on all the stuff that's going on. But now they've changed the pubs. Now they've created these family-friendly hotels, so that it's a family pub. So you take your whole family there. So you're there at a table now with your family and your wife and your kids and all this sort of stuff, and you're segregated from the people around you who are at their separate table. There's very few pubs where you just go in and sit around the bar, have a bunch of guys sitting around the bar after work talking about their day and talking about what's going on in the community. You don't get this anymore. I mean, we used to have town meetings when I was a kid. There used to be meetings in the town hall, but then television came along, so no one went to the town meetings anymore because they got all the information from the television. And all we had to fall back on after that was places like town centres and pubs and hotels and meeting places where people would gather and chew the fat and talk about stuff. But all of these places are disappearing. They're being phased out. As I said, the pubs are being phased out, turned into family pubs. Town centres are disappearing. Markets are disappearing. Anywhere where people congregate and talk in a free manner, all of these places are beginning to disappear. They're just getting phased out. We had drum circles on the beach in Byron Bay that were going for 20 years, 25 years, 30 years. Suddenly the council passed a decree that we didn't want drum circles on the beach because it creates noise which may disturb the community. Rubbish. The reason they did it was because they don't want people congregating and gathering and talking freely. They want to know what everybody's doing, what everybody's saying, and they don't want people gathering together. If they see more than three people gathered together, they want to know what they're talking about and whether they're conspiring anything that may offend the government in any way. This is the way we're going, folks, and that's one of the reasons it's been so difficult to get this information out to people, I think, because there's just no real way to meet people anymore. The only way you can get to meet people is to go to a nightclub or whatever, which is essentially a meat market. I mean, there's very few places you can actually go and just bump into new people and congregate and just talk about stuff and see what's going on in the rest of the community. All these places are being phased out of existence and we're becoming completely dependent upon information we're getting from the media. And of course, all of this information is false. It's all propaganda. Nothing that the mainstream media tells you has any bearing on reality at all. And that's the state of society, folks. That's why it's so difficult, because no one knows what's going on because they believe all this crap that the talking heads feed them. And it's all just complete bullshit, all of it. It's always been bullshit. That's what the media is about. One big pile of horse shit being fed to the people who are told and convinced that this is actually reality when it's not. And of course, and returning to the opening quote, if you attempt to inform people that they've been fooled by all this crap, then they take it as an affront against their ego. They believe that you are telling them that they're stupid, and they've been trained to think that being stupid and being perceived as stupid, being perceived as someone who could possibly be fooled by anything, is the most shameful thing you could possibly do as a human being. And so no one wants to admit that they may be wrong. People are literally terrified of admitting that they were wrong. This is what I saw with the Christchurch shooting, folks. So many people out there who call themselves actual researchers are literally terrified of admitting that they may have called it wrong on the Christchurch shooting when they called hoax and CGI and all the stuff that they were fed by the COINTEL operatives, and they all just went along with it because nobody wants to be seen as a fool. No one ever wants to admit that they're wrong, because this, apparently, is one of the most shameful things you can ever do. You know, and we make mistakes, folks. People are wrong all the time. That's what life's about. That's how you learn. You know, we are a species who comes here to make mistakes. If you didn't make any mistakes, you'd never learn anything. So what's the point of being ashamed of your mistakes? You really need to embrace your mistakes, because it's these mistakes that actually teach you how to think properly. They teach you how to do things properly. They teach you what reality is really about. You can't just be right on everything first time all the way through life. I mean, that's not life, folks. That's not the way it works. And if you are, or you believe you are, right on everything first time straight the way through life, well, I would suggest that you've never really learned anything. And what is the big shame in being fooled by someone anyway? What's it all about? Why is there such a stigma attached to that? People who get fooled usually get fooled because they're honest people and they assume that other people are honest people. And then some scumbag comes along, does something completely dishonest and hoodwinks someone else and then laughs at them because they were fooled, when really it's the degenerate moron who did the fooling who should be laughed at. Because this person is an idiot. This person's a sociopath. This person is someone with no empathy who doesn't give a damn about anybody else except his own ego, which is why he goes out fooling people and then laughing at them, because they actually believed him and considered that he may be an honest person. That's the reality of the situation, folks. So we need to turn that around. There's no shame in being fooled. And the whole world has been fooled because the world is run by criminals, psychopaths who don't give a damn about anybody else and just lie through their teeth at every opportunity and then laugh at you because you've been fooled. And you feel so embarrassed about it because, oh dear, you don't want to look like a fool, when really it's the other way around, folks. It's these people who need to be shamed. Because as I said, most people only get fooled because they're decent, honest people who take other people at face value and just expect that people will be basically honest. Now, this is something that used to upset me so much when I was a kid. You know, when people would say mean things to you, and my mother would say, oh, don't worry about it, they didn't mean it. And I would say, what do you mean they didn't mean it, Mum? Why would they say it if they didn't mean it? Why would anyone say anything that they didn't mean? What's the point of doing that? It doesn't make any sense. You know, if people say things they don't mean, then how can we have any type of life or society or anything at all? What's the point of even being here if people say things they don't mean? And that was just my logic when I was a kid. And so I got fooled a lot because I simply trusted people. I expected people were decent, caring people. And when I found out they weren't, it was a big shock for me. And this happened by the time I was about 5 or 6 years old. I'd figured it out that people were not what I thought they were. But until that point, I always felt that people were like me, that people were just basically honest, and I couldn't understand why anybody would want to lie or hoodwink or hurt anybody else. It just didn't make sense to me, and frankly, it still doesn't. But unfortunately, that's the world that we've got. But, you know, we need to adjust our perspective in looking at all of these things, folks. We really do. And as I said, there's no shame in being fooled. We've all been fooled. This whole world is one big theater of foolery. This whole world is one big sideshow of lies and webs and illusions, and nothing is what it seems. And the sooner people are willing to admit that, the sooner we'll find a way out. You know, it's like we're living in Aladdin's cave or something. What was that film, The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus or something like that? That's what we're like, folks. It's like we're living in an imaginarium where nothing is what we're told it is. And everything that we're told is done for one reason is all backwards, and it's all actually been done for the opposite reason, most especially in the case with what we're told by the government and the media. And so if this is what we're facing, and it is, then where does the answer lie? Where are the solutions to these issues? And as I've shared with you so many times, the solution is within. The solution is for people to change their perspective and realize that all this authority is just a fiction. You know, the solution lies with each and every one of the people out there rediscovering themselves, or maybe not even each and every one, because we don't need the entire world to wake up to what is happening. We just need the people who are awake to be motivated into action. This is what I've been saying for many, many years. I mean, you can be a shining light in your community. You can talk about this stuff in the right way. you know, in an eloquent way, in a calm, rational way, in a way that people can understand, you know, around the kitchen table talk. The way I've attempted to do with these radio shows, this is why I don't over-intellectualize anything. I try not to let my ego get in the way of anything that I'm presenting on the show here. I just offer a perspective. And if I get it wrong, that's fine for me to get it wrong. I don't have a problem with getting things wrong. You know, when I say there's something about to happen, some terrible event, and it doesn't happen, I'm happy that it doesn't happen. But, you know, some of these events, you've got to wonder whether they don't happen because there's so many people in the truth community who call them out before they happen and predict them. And so that if they did happen, well, it'd be pretty obvious to the people at large that, well, a lot of people called this, perhaps it was planned. So, you know, you've got to wonder how many terrorist events and how many terrible things that we have actually prevented and circumvented. I mean, I think we've slowed the system down considerably in the last 10 or 15 years, but as I've often said, what people haven't noticed is what is rolling out under the carpet, which is the smart grid. You know, people have been expecting the police state to look like Nazi Germany, or, you know, what we're given to believe was Nazi Germany, or something like Equilibrium, or some of the dystopian movies that we see on TV. That's what they expect it to look like. But really, it's more like Black Mirror. It's more like us creating our own prison around us, and it's a technological prison. And with the censorship that's coming, soon we're just not going to have access to so much information, ladies and gentlemen. You know, the censorship laws are being rolled out. The need to protect people from all the misinformation that is circulating on the internet. Of course, the flat earth movement has been predictably singled out as one of the main causes of this censorship. And this is something that I predicted would happen back in 2015. I put out a video called A Plea for Sanity. And I said that what is going to happen is that the flat earth movement is going to provide the powers that believe they be with the opportunity they need to censor the internet, because you've got all these people out there that have gone hell for leather convincing so many people that the earth is flat. And now they're going to be able to say, well, look what the internet has done. It's convinced millions of people the earth is flat. And this is why we need to tailor information. And we need to filter information and make sure people are getting fed accurate information. This is the way they're going to play it. And this is something that I predicted in 2015, because doing it this way, you've got so many people out there who believe the world is a globe. So many people out there in mainstream society, this is their basis of their whole belief system. So when they discover there's a whole bunch of people out there who believe otherwise simply because of the internet, because the internet has been unregulated, then all of these people, these plebs who haven't even woken up to the fact that the government's lying to them about the most basic of things, all of these people are going to applaud the introduction of internet censorship. That's why the Flat Earth Movement was launched in the manner that it was, why it was launched with such a divisive attitude, why people within the Flat Earth Movement have gone out of their way to associate every proven truth that we can find, everything that is revealing government corruption, everything they can find at all in the independent media, to associate all of it with a belief that the earth is flat, so that the entire independent media can be censored at the same time and the flow of all information can be stopped. As I said, folks, this is something that I predicted that would happen in 2015, simply because of the way the Flat Earth Movement was being run as such a divisive movement, and movement that wasn't open to discussion at all. It was, you believe or you are the enemy, and that was the bottom line. There was no compromise at all. And I said, this is the way it's going to be run. This is going to bring about internet censorship. And now we're seeing that roll out right now by the mainstream media, with Flat Earth leading the way of the censorship. Exactly as I predicted it would happen. And all this could have been circumvented if people had just allowed discussion to develop between the two groups rather than attacks and animosity. And if the Flat Earth people had stuck with their Flat Earth research and not gone out of their way to associate everything else they could find with Flat Earth research. Because as I said, all of it is going to lead to censorship, and all of it has led to censorship, and we're seeing all of this rolled out upon us right now, exactly as I predicted, because it is just so predictable. When you understand how these people think, and you think six or seven moves ahead the way they do, all this stuff becomes painfully obvious, ladies and gentlemen. So we've got a very limited window with which to turn this around before we do find ourselves locked down, and we need to start finding other platforms. As I said, if my channel does get closed down, I'm going to continue uploading videos to BitChute as long as I'm able to, until they shut me down completely, till they come looking for me and find me or whatever. And I'm fully expecting my Facebook pages and things to be shut down as well. And I don't really use Facebook that much. I mean, I check for messages a couple of times a week and I post news articles on there to share with people. I post my weekly shows there. But I don't really deal with social media that much. I don't really post on Facebook very much at all, sort of sit there and chat with people. So that's not going to affect me too much, except with the flow of information. And again, it is kind of handy to be able to connect with some people and contact some people. But we do need to find other platforms. We need to find other avenues to get information out. And we do need to find other ways to keep the truth flowing. You know, I've tried with Steam it. That seems to be kind of slow. I still cannot access MeWe. I haven't been able to access MeWe ever since I got back into Australia. I don't know whether it's the bandwidth or what it is, whether I've just done something to my account, but I haven't been able to access my MeWe page for many months now, probably about a year now. So I've kind of given up on that one. I'm not able to upload to DTube or DLive or any of that sort of stuff because I don't use a cell phone. So it is getting a little tricky, and they're putting things on the cloud as well, making it very easy for people to be locked out of their stuff. So there's all of this stuff going on that we need to pay attention to, folks. But however it pans out, we will find ways of getting the truth out to people and continuing to get the truth out to people. But, you know, if people aren't going to act on the truth, then sometimes I just have to wonder, what is the point? You know, what is the point of me even continuing and doing this if people are just going to listen to the radio shows and not actually act on the information? It's so important that people act on the information. I mean, as much as I like to come and share with people and hopefully empower and inspire and motivate people and maybe even bring some comfort and solace to people who might be freaking out about what's happening, ultimately, we need people to begin acting and really paying attention and getting motivated on the ground and inspiring those people around them who may not listen to these radio shows. Really, that's what it's going to take, folks. And now's the time for us to do it because, well, you know, we've kind of almost got to the end of the tunnel. And what we haven't realized probably along the way is that the light that has been shining at the end of the tunnel and welcome us has actually been ourselves, if we'd only be willing to see that and hold that torch ourselves and shine it as brightly as we can. Now's the time for us to do it, folks. I mean, our children and their future really does depend on it. So, yeah, let's do it. Well, we have once again reached that moment where we have got to the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen. We've run out of time once again. As I've mentioned to you previously, I'll be speaking in Philadelphia in September at Anarchadelphia. You'll find a link to that on my website. There's also a chance I'll be speaking at an event here on the Gold Coast in August. This event is called the Paradigm Shift Summit, and I'll get back to you on that when I have dates and confirmations and all that sort of stuff, but that's something else to look out for if you happen to be in Australia, especially in the Brisbane, Gold Coast, Byron Bay region. And those are actually the only two events that I have planned for this year, although there is a chance, as I mentioned previously as well, that I may organize some small event in LA while I'm in the United States in September. That's, of course, if I'm able to get into the United States in September. It will be depending on whether the United States government wishes to see my 5 years social media history before they grant me my visa, because my 3-year visa for the United States has run out now. I need to apply for a new one when I go back, and it will be interesting to see the new questionnaire and whether that is one of the questions for people arriving from Australia. So I'll keep you posted on that one, folks. But as it stands at the moment, I will be speaking in Anarchadelphia in Philadelphia in September this year. So, and as I said, very likely at the Paradigm Shift Summit here on the Gold Coast in August, but I'll get back to you on both of those next week. Again, thank you to all the people who send me so many kind emails. Thank you to my Patreon supporters. As always, I could not do any of this if it wasn't for you, so I really cannot thank you enough. You're really the only people that have kept this show on the air for the last 5 years, so I'm sure that the many listeners of the show out there also very much appreciate your support, because you are really the only people that have kept me going and kept this on the air. So I cannot thank you enough for that. And I don't know how long we're going to be able to keep it up, folks, the way things are going, but well, we got to do what we can, and we can't back down simply because the machine is getting bigger. In fact, now's the time we need to stand up a bit stronger and a bit taller, and I intend to continue doing that. But anyway, folks, that is it for me. I've completely run out of time. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Thank you very much for joining me on the show today, and please take very good care until then, and stay safe and stay strong. In Lakesh.